Acts chapter number 12 in your Bible this evening real quickly. And I've got a lot of material here to get to, but I'll make a deal with you. If you'll listen fast, I'll preach introduction, the first point, and let you go. And we'll pick up the rest of it maybe on next week. Amen. Don't get too excited. The introduction, first point's this long. Amen. And let's stand together and we'll read a few verses. Familiar record in the Word of God from the life of Peter. Some things the Lord did for him in the early church. I'm going to use this for our text and get started tonight, challenging our heart about the matter of prayer. The Bible said in verse number 1, "Now about that time, Herod the king stretched forth his hands to vex certain of the church. And he killed James, the brother of John, with the sword. Because he saw it pleased the Jews, he proceeded further to take Peter also. Then were the days of unleavened bread. When he had apprehended him, he put him in prison, delivered him to 4 quaternions of soldiers to keep him, intending after Easter to bring him forth to the people. Peter, therefore, was kept in prison," and here's our verse tonight, "but prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. When Herod would have brought him forth, the same night Peter was sleeping between 2 soldiers, bound with 2 chains, and the keepers before the door kept the prison. Behold, the angel of the Lord came upon him, and a light shined in the prison, and he smote Peter on the side, raised him up, saying, 'Arise up quickly,' and his chains fell off from his hands. The angel said unto him, 'Gird thyself and bind on thy sandals.' And so he did. And he saith unto him, 'Cast thy garment about thee and follow me.' And he went out and followed him and wist not that it was true which was done by the angel, but thought he saw a vision. When they were past the first and second ward, they came unto the iron gate that leadeth unto the city, which opened to them of his own accord. They went out and passed on through one street, and forthwith the angel departed from him. When Peter was come to himself, he said, 'Now I know of a surety that the Lord has sent his angel, and hath delivered me out of the hand of Herod and from all the expectation of the people of the Jews.' When he had considered the thing, he came to the house of Mary, the mother of John, whose surname was Mark, where many were gathered together praying. As Peter knocked at the door of the gate, a damsel came to hearken named Rhoda. And when she knew Peter's voice, she opened not the gate for gladness, but ran in and told how Peter stood before the gate. They said unto her, 'Thou art mad,' but she constantly affirmed that it was even so. Then said they, 'It is his angel.' And Peter continued knocking, and when they had opened the door and saw him, they were astonished. But he, beckoning unto them with the hand to hold their peace, declared unto them how the Lord had brought him out of the prison. And he said, 'Go show these things unto James and to the brethren.' And he departed and went into another place." And we'll leave off a reading there. Thank you for standing. You can be seated. Heavenly Father, tonight in the name of the Lord Jesus, Lord, we humbly bow in prayer, asking, Lord, that you'd help us again tonight. We know this evening in ourselves, that is our own mind, our own body, and in our own strength tonight, Lord, the arm of flesh would surely fail us. And so I pray this evening, may the Spirit of the Lord illuminate our mind and empower our voice and our body. And Lord, I pray that the things we say tonight would be exhortive, the children of God. I pray this evening, Lord, the weary would be encouraged. And Lord, those that, Lord, maybe you're in a tough place and don't know what to do, would find some instruction tonight, Lord, that would help their spiritual lives. And Lord, I pray the church would be built up this evening, and that, Lord, every need that's represented tonight somehow, some way through the Word of God would be touched on, Lord, this evening, to send us some help, Lord, we need. And Lord, all that you do, we'll thank you for it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. In Acts chapter number 12, I understand this is a familiar record and a text that's been often preached on. I know Even around here, myself, I've taught on it. Others have come through and preached on it. It seemed like the Lord's laid it back on our heart here in recent days and weeks and maybe even months now, just pondering on thoughts about prayer from this text. We understand that when we come to Acts chapter number 12 here, the days of the early church, the church is in a time of expansion. And great effectiveness has been poured out upon them as they're walking in that fresh and new strength and power that they've been endowed with by the Spirit of God. And from Acts chapter number 2 to Acts chapter number 12, a series of events after events that just show the power of God that is upon them, and what God is doing with the church in those early days are really mind-blowing when you think about it, and even how far we've come after all these years of where we are. It's hard to imagine belonging to a church that is seeing the things that they are seeing and watching God do miracles beyond comprehension that God was doing in those days. And yet, these things took place exactly like the Spirit of the Lord has led Luke to write them down. And so what a time to be a part of the early church in these days would have been. I'm not complaining about belonging to church in this day. And I think the church is still special. Amen. And I think that same power can still be upon us and we can still see God do great things. And for that, I'm grateful and I'm thankful tonight. And as we see the church expanding and we sense effectiveness growing, we also see that along the way, there are obstacles and there are roadblocks and there are attempted hindrances to stymie the church and to suffocate it and to drown it out and literally to put a stop to it. And yet every time the world arises and the devil sets his crosshairs upon them thinking that he's devised a plan that is going to knock them down and knock them out, it seems like God just gives him more power and more effectiveness, and the church just marches on by the power of God. And I'll say tonight that, amen, with great power, there are obstacles that, amen, our foes and our enemies will drive in, toward us and in front of us that we've got to learn how to overcome. And I believe we see that in Acts chapter number 12. Of course, we see, amen, the church and coming into this chapter again, their effectiveness, their empowerment. We see in the early verses in this text and throughout the setting, there is the obstacle that namely of Herod having killed James and now has taken hold of Peter and now is getting ready to seek the very life even of this great apostle and this great leader of the early church. Yet the Lord intervenes through that obstacle, sets Peter free. And what a scene and what a time that was. I think about this scene and it just amazes me. Several things amaze me. And I'm not necessarily preaching on this, but I use it to get me to my thought tonight. As we think about Peter in this text, but Joe he understands James has just been killed. Here he has been arrested, and here Peter has gone for days now in jail and in confinement, incarcerated. He here is on the eve of the night of his execution. And in our text, the Bible said that Peter, when the angel of the Lord came to him, had to be awakened out of sleep. And that blows my mind. I want to say, Peter, don't you know you're getting ready to die? And Peter, how in the world can you sleep with those heavy shackles on your hands? And the vileness of the conditions that you have been confined to. Peter, how in the world do you find rest enough in your soul that you can go to sleep in a prison in this time of your life? Hey man, I'll put myself in the boat that, hey man, it had been the average Christian of our day. We'd have been chewing our nails off, pulling our hair out, singing, woe is me. Hey man, we read later on to Paul and Silas there in jail and in prison that, Amen. They're not sleeping. They're doing something else just as amazing yet. And praying and singing and praising God. And God did something for them. But I don't know if sleeping in prison, amen, a greater illustration of what God can do for His saints than that of even singing and praising God. Peter, amen, was sleeping here between these guards. And I'm thinking about that and why and how can you sleep from and in a prison cell? And I'll give you three. The third one gets me to my point. But, amen, I'll come back and preach this sometime. But, amen, I think Peter being able to sleep had something to do with the reassurance of God's promise. Amen, you see, going back in the days right before Christ would leave this world, He had already had a conversation with Peter. And the assurance and the promise that the Lord gave to Peter was, amen, you're not going to die until you're an old man. Amen, I believe Peter, them days that he's in prison, amen, he wasn't too awful worried about it and had a peace in his soul. Amen, because God had done give him a promise that, amen, this wasn't going to be the end of his life. It may not have been comfortable. It may not have been an easy night. Amen. It may not have been something that, amen, he's excited about in his life, but, amen, it didn't matter what Herod said, and it didn't matter, amen, what them prison guards, my friend, said that's going to do to it. Amen. It didn't matter what the situation looked like. Amen. Peter said, I think I'll sleep a while. Amen. This can't be the end, because I've got some promises from God that assure my soul. And I think maybe that had something to do with him being able to go to sleep. And then I thought about this, the record of God's performance. You understand as you read the book of Acts, this is now, Brother Tim, the third time Peter has been in prison. Amen. On other occasions, they imprisoned him, they threatened him, they scorned him, they mocked him, they threatened to beat him. They said, now you go out here and preach anymore in Jesus' name, and we're going to come get you again. He said, amen, I don't know what all y'all have intended to do to me. Amen, but this much I know that, amen, I'm going to obey God rather than man. And he didn't let them imprisonment slow him down. And now here he's been in prison again. And maybe Brother Riley thinks back to some of them times, previous times he's been arrested, and how God got him out and how God set him free. And now here he finds himself in another situation. Amen. With nothing more than the record of what God has performed in his life in days gone by. And I feel like I'm going to say tonight, even though I ain't necessarily preaching on it, but just into this generation, child of God, amen, just look back on the many times God has helped you and the things God has done in your life. Amen. How many things that He's brought you through. And I just want to say to us again tonight, amen, He'll do it again. Maybe that's what Peter said. Amen. As he closed his eyes and fell off to sleep. Amen. Maybe he said it. Amen. I may not know how, and I may not know when, but he'll do it again. Amen. He had that rest and that peace because of the record of God's performance in his life. Amen. I'm really not trying to preach this, but amen, he knew God had been faithful before and that, amen, God would be faithful again. Amen. And so, child of God, amen, I know it's bad in these days, but amen, oh, would to God we'd find a spiritual rest in the Savior tonight. Amen. Just simply in the record, amen, of the things that God has done for us before. Amen. I see the reassurance of God's power and I see the record of God's performance. But I think one of the other reasons, and it's all in the text tonight and it gets me to my thought, is found in verse number 5. I call it the report of God's people. The Bible said, Peter, verse 5, therefore was kept in prison. But prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. Now I can imagine during these days that Peter has been apprehended. He knows what Herod intends to do, and no doubt word is spread in the early church there in Jerusalem. Word is spread, spreading like wildfire. Herod's taken Peter. Herod's saying that it pleased the Jews to kill James, and now he has it in mind to do the same to Peter. And things ain't looking so good. I maybe imagine there on the first day and first few hours in Peter's bed, a man in handcuffs, maybe the early church says, somebody go down there and pay a visit to Peter and let Peter know that we're praying for him. And we may not can break him out. We may not have the ammunition and the artillery and the know-how to go break him out. Amen. We may not can hire some mercenaries and special ops to go in and bust him out, but amen, go down there and let that man of God know that, amen, while he's in here, we're going to be over here and we're going to be praying for the man of God. Amen. Harry can find him. I don't know what. All the reasons were, it may have had something to do with, amen, it had been just a short time ago, amen, within a few years, my friend had passed since it, amen, they had apprehended the Lord and even killed him and put him in a grave, amen, and rolled a stone, set a seal on it, and Pilate said, make it sure as you can, Lord, come up out of the grave, and maybe Herod has that in mind, he knows not to fool with this crowd. Amen. And so he commits 4 quaternions of soldiers, that is, 16 Roman soldiers to guard the man of God there, put him in prison and put him in shackles. And my friend, it looks like there's no way of escape. Amen. But I believe there's something in Peter's heart that, amen, found a rest and found the peace. Amen, said, I may be in here and there may not be much that I can do, but amen, at least I know the people of God are praying for me. I don't know how it's going to turn out. I know what God has promised. I know what God has done before. And now is a new need and now is a fresh situation. Amen, that my friend calls for. Of the people of God to go down on bended knee. Amen. You see, the report of God's people is that of those, though Herod's prison doors had clanged shut, heaven's prayer doors were wide open for him. Amen. I'm glad this evening the Word of God said, amen, Peter therefore was kept in prison, but prayer was made. Amen. You see, my friend, the word but there changes everything. Amen. It didn't matter, my friend, how secure Peter was. It didn't matter all the necessary things that Herod lined up. Amen. To secure a detail for the keeping of this man. This man of God, Peter, it didn't matter, amen, my friend, how thick the shackles were. It didn't matter, my friend, how thick the prison walls were. It didn't matter how strong the prison bars were. It didn't matter how deep they put him in the ward, Brother A.L., it didn't matter what size lock and how many locks, how complicated the lock would be to pick. Amen. It didn't matter about any of that. Amen. When Luke said there, Peter therefore was kept in prison, but prayer was made. Amen. I'm interested in that phrase tonight. Amen. But prayer was made. What a report in the people of God. Amen. What peace had brought to Peter's heart. Amen. So much so that, amen, he's not just dozed off to sleep. But Jim, he's in such a sleep that the angel of the Lord, amen, has to literally wake him up, amen, to get him out. If it had been me, buddy, I'd been listening for every little opportunity I could. Amen. I'd be, amen, looking for keys to grab and soldiers to fall asleep. Tapping on the wall, Morse code and everything else. But, amen, there he is sleeping. And no doubt resting in the fact that prayer was being made for him. Now, the word that I'm interested in tonight, and I've been thinking on for some time, is in regard to prayer, how the Word of God gives it to us here, but prayer was made. The word made. It didn't say prayer, but prayer was said. It said, but prayer was made. In other words, these are not casual prayers. This is not just the saying of prayers. This is the making of prayers. And this evening I'm interested in the word made. Listen to this. Hey, man, I've done a little word study on the word made. And the word made, Brother Winnis, means to cause to be. It means this. It means to cause to be or to come into being. In other words, there is a need. In other words, Peter is being kept in prison. And my friend, there's nothing the church can do to get him out. Amen. They can't snatch him out. They can't beg him out. There's no bail that has been set for his bond. My friend, they can't buy him out. They can't bribe one of the soldiers or all 16 to get him out. Amen. They ain't got enough money for that. Amen. The only thing they have to resort to, amen, is the making of prayer for Peter in the situation that he is in. And so there is a causing to be, a coming into being in regard to prayer. The word made literally means to come into existence. To come into existence. And I thought about that, Brother Wes, here's the question. This ain't necessarily what I'm preaching, not the question, but in this word made, I thought about this. Is our prayer life existent or is it extinct? The opposite of something being existing is it's gone extinct. There is in the last days that we're living in, amen, as compared to the early days in the church, that when it come to prayer, when it came to, amen, causing something to be, when it came to, amen, bringing something, amen, out of nothing, my friend, they were able to do that by making prayer. They had an existent prayer life, and yet, amen, after all these years, we're living in a generation, amen, where a thriving prayer life, a prayer life that changes things, and a prayer life that rings heaven's bells, and a prayer life that moves heaven toward earth, and gets God to do great things, seems to be something that is extinct. Is that right? I know it's Wednesday night. I ain't going to beat on you. I'm not going to beat on you, but I just want us to think about it. Amen. Is our prayer life existent or is it extinct? Amen. All right. Good quiet crowd we got. The word made. I thought this was interesting Brother West. He'll appreciate this. He's a word study man. That word made that is there is the Greek word genomai. And this word, and I don't usually give all this, but just bear with me, it's important and pertinent to the message and our understanding of our thought tonight. The Greek word genomai is where our English words gene, generation, and generate are derived from. When we think about genes, and I won't bore you with the Bill Nye, the science guy. In fact, he ain't much of a scientist anyway. Don't listen to nothing he has to say, but, amen. And anyway,
Amen. A science lesson tonight. If you want to go home and study genes, you can. Amen. But genes, when you think about genes, and just simply put, genes are what makes us what we are physically. I found in my study that it is the genes that carry, genes are made up of DNA and all these genes in our body, they carry information, our chromosomes, and those chromosomes determine, amen, what you're going to be. Your hair color, your eye color, the size of your ears, how tall you're going to be, and all these things. Amen, your genes are what, amen, through DNA deliver information, the chromosomes that produce what it is that you're going to become. Amen, in your genes and the DNA to the chromosomes determine whether or not you're going to be male or female. Now, the generation we're in, they don't understand that. Amen, bunch of weirdos. Men are men and women are women and they ain't nothing else to choose from. It is your genes. It is, amen, the genes. It is, amen, what makes you what you are the genes that God, amen, gave you in conception and gave you life. Amen, God made you. God forms you in the womb. Amen, there's a gentleman that is, amen, attached to our being tonight. And that's this word made. That's this word made, gentleman. Amen, gene, generation, generate. Genes carry the information that determines our formation. Thus, the word made, listen to this now, boy, I'm bogging down. The word made indicates life. Life. When we talk about, but prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him, that is that in their prayer life there was life in it. They weren't dead prayers. They weren't lifeless prayers. They were not prayers without passion, prayers without emotion. They were prayers that had life, and thus they're making prayers. They're not saying prayers. They're making prayers. They are forming. They are pouring DNA. They are pouring genes. They, my friend, are pouring life into their communion with God on behalf of Peter. I'm going to tell you why we don't know, amen, a prayer life that is existing and why prayer lives are going extinct in this day. There's very little praying with life in it anymore.
Right.
I'm not saying that that's in the tone that you pray in. I'm not saying that's in how loud you pray. I'm not saying, my friend, that's in the animation of your prayer. Amen, that life is not an outward life. Amen, but it is that inward passion in the heart. Amen, that says I need something from my God. I need my God to make a miracle for me. And the only way to bring that from the heart of God into my life is by me making prayer to Him. Life. 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 Life in our prayers. Prayer was made. Amen. Prayer was made. I thought about just the word made. Amen. If somebody would say, well, I made something. Amen. Made would indicate not only life, but it indicates labor. Labor. Amen. Whether one is making a supper or a house, there's labor involved. There's labor involved. Amen. Doesn't matter if you're cooking in the kitchen or you're out on a job site, Brother Mike. Amen. If we're going to make something, not only is life got to be involved, but there's got to be some labor. You ain't going to make anything without some labor. Amen. You can have, amen, eggs on the counter and flour on the counter and chicken on the counter. and bacon on the counter and bacon on the counter and more bacon on the counter. And my friend, you can have all, amen, everything laid out for the meal, but until you labor, you're not going to make anything. Amen. You can call Lowe's or Home Supply Lumber Yard and say, I need this many 2x4s and this many nails. I need rafters and brick and sheetrock. And my friend, they can bring it all out there and lay it out on the job site. Amen. But until a man picks up a hammer and goes to work and begins to labor, there'll be no making of anything. I'm thinking tonight of our prayer life and whether, my friend, it has existed or whether it's gone extinct, that, my friend, it could be measured not only by the life that is in our prayer, but the labor involved in prayer. Amen. Amen. There ain't a person in here tonight, amen, that wouldn't say, I want God to do the miraculous in my life. Yes, I want God to work in my life. I want God to make something in and out of my family. I want God to make something out of the Calvary Baptist Tabernacle. But listen, the Bible said, but prayer was made. Prayer was made. Sissy, that is, amen. They weren't just expecting God to labor for them. They were willing to make some prayer and labor in the secret place. Amen. I may not even get the first point. I'm still an introduction. Amen. I think about this when we think of the word made. We think about the life and we think about labor involved. Life involved, labor involved. But the Bible said prayer was made. If you're going to make something, that would require a list. Amen. For to make a cake is to incorporate the right ingredients. Is that right? To make a structure is to bring together the right materials. If you don't have the right ingredients, you can't make a cake, even if that is what you're intending on making. You don't make a cake out of green beans. Not if you're a sane person. Is that right? You got to have the right ingredients. There's a list of things that are pertinent to, my friend, the making of a cake. Amen. And the building of a structure, whatever it is. Amen. If you're building a metal building, you need metal studs, metal rafters, metal siding, metal roofs. You need insulation. You need concrete poured. And you need the right materials on the job site. Or else it doesn't matter what you intend to build, you'll never be successful. Is that right? Now I want to be careful here. I don't want to give the perception tonight, Brother Mark, that our prayer life can just be reduced to a certain list of things that we check off. It's not what I'm preaching. But there are some things that's got to be involved in prayer, or you ain't going to make prayer. Amen. Can I give you my thought? But prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for Him. I want to preach a little while and I'll give you my thought. It won't take me long to preach the first point, but amen. Let me give you my thought. I'm preaching on what prayer is made of. What prayer, if you're going to make prayer, you got to know what prayer is made of. I believe Acts chapter number 12, verse number 5, would be a good starting place to look at and say, you know what? The Lord is telling us they made prayer, and He's telling us what their prayer that they made, He's telling us what it was made of. Amen. Y'all want the first one? Amen. Let me give you number one. Amen. But prayer was made. Notice the next two words, without ceasing. If you're taking notes, write it down this way. When we think about what prayer is made of, I find here that prayer is made of what we'll call tonight, for outline's sake, resolve. Resolve. If you're going to make prayer, you're going to have some resolve in your heart that you're going to make prayer. Amen. The Bible said that it was made without ceasing. The phrase there, without ceasing, literally means to stretch forth. It's as though it is the Spirit of God's way of saying that this early church, they were extended, they were stretching, amen, themselves heavenward. Amen. They realized they were exhausted in their own resources. They realized there was no way they could bust Him out. They realized there was no human effort they could be attached, amen, to what they needed to be done for Peter. And so what did they do? They made prayer, and in doing so, they did it without ceasing. This word and this phrase, without ceasing, amen, means to stretch forth, but it's a medical term referencing or referring to a stretched ligament or a muscle. Stretching the ligament or a muscle. You know what you do when you stretch it? And I'm not a very limber person. I'm pretty tense. Amen. I went to the chiropractor one time. I thought he killed me. And he put me on that table. My neck was hurting. And he put me on that table and he got moving around. He said, "Preacher man, you gotta relax." I said, "This is relaxed as you gonna get me." He done like that right there, and he twisted me a certain way. When I walked out of there, my neck hurt, my head hurt, my toes hurt. Amen. He hurt my feelings is what he done. And part of that is, I don't stretch a lot. Amen? But when you stretch, what you're doing is, your body is used to whatever life and lifestyle you live, it's used to those certain motions. But when we sit it down and intend on stretching it, that is, amen, I pull it to where I'm used to pulling it, and then I extend it just a little bit more. There are certain things like, hey man, you move your arm up and you go, "Well, that's as far as I can go." But it's not. Yes. Hey man, you can tie something to your arm and you can pull it just a little bit further. What is that? That is stretching. Hey man, and so the idea here, I think, is this, or the implication, is that of going beyond what one is used to. Going beyond what one is used to. Amen. Can I say that the difference in our prayer life being existed, or our prayer life on the verge of going extinct, is when we fail to go and stretch ourselves just a little further than what we're used to. Amen. There's no shame in praying 5 minutes. No shame in praying 5 minutes at all. But if you've been praying 5 minutes for the last 20 years, amen, why don't you determine tonight I'm going to stretch myself a little further?
Amen.
Nothing wrong with praying once a day. That's a great thing. I'd not criticize that. When's your last time? Amen. You had a little resolve in your heart and you looked around your life and you looked in your family and you looked into the church and it done something to you and put a resolve there that said, amen, praying once a day is not enough anymore. I need to stretch myself a little further than what I'm used to. So, amen, my prayer life can be made to the right kind of thing.
Amen.
Anybody with me tonight? Believe we're preaching. I believe we're preaching. You're a little on the quiet side, but I think you're listening. Resolve. Going beyond what we're used to. Going beyond what is the norm. Going beyond, my friend, what we think our limitations are. And saying, by the help of God, I'll make some prayer. I'll pray. And I'll pray without ceasing. I'm resolved to go beyond what is going on around me. Let me give you a few things out of the text, because you say, "Well, preacher, If it was easy, I would have resolve. If it was easy, it wouldn't be resolve. Resolve means there's some things that stand in our way. Amen. Resolve means there's some things that tell me it's pointless. That tell me it's useless. It tells me it's hopeless. But resolve says, I'm going to pray anyway. Amen. Y'all want this? It's right out of the text now. Number one. Amen. But prayer was made without ceasing. Here's the resolve. Now they were resolved in spite of the tears. You say there ain't no tears in this text. Amen. Did you hear when we read it this evening, the opening of this text? Now about that time, Herod the king stretched forth his hand to make certain of the church, and he killed James, the brother of John, with the sword. You reckon that broke the heart of that church? You reckon, my friend, there were tears shed when the news began to spread that Aunt James, one of those sons of thunder, one of them men of God who can get up, preach the pain off the walls, and his life had been taken in persecution, never to hear him again, never to enjoy his fellowship again, never to hear him talk about the stories, and my friend, the accounts and the testimonies of the life that he had lived, walking and eating and talking and sitting with the Lord Jesus Christ, one of their heroes had died. Imagine there were tears that had been prayed. I tell you something, Brother Tim, in this chapter, there's something I can't quite wrap my mind around, is that it seems like Herod is duplicating upon Peter what he had done to James. That he had been apprehended, he had been imprisoned, and then after a while and after pressure had been put upon him, he thought to kill him and did with the sword. Now, let me ask you something. You reckon the church had been praying when James was in prison? You reckon, my friend, the same crowd that made prayer without ceasing, a man had done the same for that man of God? For that saint of God, for that one that had a need. Amen. I guarantee you they had been, Brother Larry, had been pouring their heart out to God. God, we're trusting you. We're trusting you. We're banking on you. You're all we got. And they pour their heart out and they're trusting and believing that God is going to do something. Yes, sir. Then James dies. They're left. Wondering what? Why didn't God do what we asked? We know that He can. My friend, listen, it is a picture, it is a testimony. And my friend, sometimes God don't do things the way we want God to do it. It breaks our heart, and sometimes we cry, and sometimes we ask why, and sometimes, amen, with tears rolling down our face, amen, there'll be another need that'll come in our life, amen, and that need to say, you trusted God last time and He didn't hear. You trusted God last time and He didn't answer. And my friend, I tell you what prayer's made of. Amen, I can look back over time, said, amen, for whatever reason, God's ways were not my ways, said, amen, God didn't do it, had poured my heart out. Amen, even though I trusted Him, and yet, my friend, with tears running down our face, amen, we just pray another prayer anyway. Amen. There are some that have an extinct prayer life because you prayed about something in days gone by and God didn't do it how you thought He ought to. Now you've quit making prayers because you don't have, and I'm not being mean tonight. I know the temptation. I know what it is to begin to go down that path. To lose our resolve because of the tears we're praying. Amen. Crying because, amen, we think God didn't do things the way He should have done. Amen. You say, oh, not me. I trust God all the time. Amen. I know His ways are perfect. And I know that too. Sometimes, my friend, we got to be resolved to pray in spite of the tears. Does that make sense? Number two, in spite of the time. Say, what do you mean? Most commentators believe, and myself, I believe, likely it's the case, according to Scripture, that Peter, upon his arrest, had been in prison as we come to this text, and the eve of his execution, he has been in prison for 8 days. 8 days he's had shackles on it. 8 days, my friend, he's been there in confinement. 8 days. A word has gone out. Herod's going to kill him at the end of the Passover. At the end of all this religious rigmarole, Herod is going to do the same to Peter as he did to James. Can I say, no doubt in my mind, the church, amen, prayed each and every day. Amen, from the day they heard he had been arrested. Amen, they likely went to praying, God, would you help Brother Peter? Lord, would you help our dear friend? Lord, it ain't looking good for him. Would you do something for it? And my friend, each day, day by day, they prayed. And yet seemingly, amen, seemingly as time passed, amen, nothing was happening. Amen, now God's going to set him free. We know the end of the story. Why did God wait 8 days? God could have done on day one, Brother West, what he did on day eight. I don't know why God didn't. And you don't know why God didn't. But I'm telling you from this text, the prayer was made without ceasing. Amen. When day one went by and it didn't look like prayer was doing anything. And when day two passed by and it looked like, amen, there was no hope in sight. And when day three came and it looked like, amen, Peter would never be rescued. And when day four came and the devil began to whisper in their ear, you're wasting your time down here on your knees. Amen, friend, day five and day six and day seven, how'd you like to be them on day eight? They know, amen, this is the eve. The announcement has gone out that Herod's going to kill him in the morning. And no doubt they're praying and they're praying and the flesh is thinking, it doesn't look like we've got enough time to pray this thing through. But you know what they did? They kept on praying. You may be praying for something and in need of something tonight, and it don't look like it's happening. Child of God, what prayer is made of is resolve that says, I don't know what timeline God's working on. I don't know. I don't know how much further down the road it's going to be. I know God could have done it on day one, kind of like when Daniel prayed back there in the Old Testament. Amen. And that angel 21 days later came. Amen. And interrupted Daniel in his prayer place. Amen. And said, hey, God heard you on day one. Amen. And I'm here to show up and give you the answer. And that, amen. We don't understand all that. We don't know what God's doing. But a child of God, just keep making prayer. Just keep making prayer. Say, preacher, I've been praying for days. I've been praying for months. I've been praying, some of us, about things for years. Child of God, prayer is made of resolve. You keep praying in spite of the time.
Amen.
Amen. Number three, and I'm done, in spite of the trouble. In spite of the trouble. You say, what do you mean? Verse 4, and when he had apprehended him, so there's an arrest, he put him in prison. And so he's in the jail, he's incarcerated, and delivered him to four quaternions of soldiers to keep him. He had bad intentions to do to him after day number 8. It looks like an impossible situation. It looks like all that Herod has done. In fact, think about it, and I'm sure the list could be lengthened. According to details we would add that Peter is arrested in prison, committed to 16 soldiers and shackled to a soldier on both sides in this eve of his execution. I'm telling you, my friend, he has been made secure. He ain't getting out. Nobody's breaking him out. Amen. The trouble that Peter is in looks like it's beyond him ever getting out. So maybe somebody said, what's the use? What's the use in praying? Somebody said, I don't know how it's all going to turn out, but I am resolved to trust God again tonight. And I am resolved to carry Brother Peter to the throne of grace one more time. And I'm not going to quit until he has been slain. I am resolved to trust God to his dying breath, no matter what the circumstance looks like, no matter what the trouble says. I'm going to believe that there's hope. Child of God, believe there is hope. Believe there is hope. You say my hope's deferred. You say my hope is dashed. You say my hope is gone. Amen. And you've lost your resolve. Amen. Get your resolve back, and you'll get your hope back, and you start not saying prayers, but making prayers again. Amen. I'm telling you, there are things right now I've been begging God for. Amen. For 2 long years, things that Brother Joe, I've tried to fix, things I've tried to intervene in. Amen. And I've got the place to say, God, I don't know what to do. I'm trusting you. I'm trusting you. I'm banking on you to do it. It don't matter what the devil says, anybody else says. Amen. You are God, and I am resolved to keep on praying. Buddy, I'm telling you, hey man, I want to be careful tonight. I don't want any of God's glory. Hey man, shame going to him. But hey man, I was praying up there last night, and I'm telling you, Tim, as a glory bell went off in my soul. Hey man, praying about some of them things that, hey man, you say, preacher, did it change? It ain't changed, but I'm telling you, God is a God and we can trust, be resolved to pray in spite of the trouble. Amen. When you can't claw your way out, when you can't fight your way out, when you can't buy your way out, pray your way out. Amen. Say, Preacher Herod has shut them doors on the prison. They clang shut and they reverb in my heart. And I am enslaved. I'm in prison of this for the rest of my life. Oh no, child of God, be resolved that heaven's door is wide open. There is room at the throne of grace. Be resolved. Be resolved. Be resolved. Pray without ceasing. Resolve. Resolve. I know this is simple. Buddy, I'm telling you what prayer is made out of is resolve. Amen. Why are so many prayer lives going extinct? I'll tell you where the foundation is. People lose their resolve to pray. The tears have got too much for them. The length of time has grown too long. The trouble seems so insurmountable. But child of God, what is impossible for you is not impossible for God. Prayer's made out of resolve. Number two, I ain't preaching it. Prayer's made out of relationship. Prayer was made without ceasing, Brother Webb, of the church. Of the church. Relationship. The communal aspect of the church being unified one with another gained them access to what prayer is really made out of. See, prayer ain't just about you and God. Prayer's about these relationships too. That's why Jesus said, and I ain't preaching it now, I'm winding down. Amen. Some of y'all won't be here next Wednesday. You'll want all this. Brother Willis will want to preach this. Jesus said, if you're going to talk to the Heavenly Father and you get down to pray and you're not right with your brother, he said, just put all that on pause, because that ain't what prayer's made out of. Go make the relationships right and then come back and you'll find what prayer's made out of. I ain't preaching that till sometime. Amen. Prayer's not only made out of resolve and relationships, prayer's made out of reliance. What do you mean? But prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God. Oh, I got to give you this. I ain't preaching it, Brother Mike, but I got to give it to you. I got to whet your appetite, get you come back next Wednesday unto God. That word God means the supreme divinity, the magistrate, the one in charge.
Amen.
Amen. You know who they was praying to? They were relying upon the God that is almighty.
Yes, sir. Amen.
Can I give you another? Oh, the Lord gave me a nugget. Oh, Brother Joe. They were relying on a God, praying to a God that was alive.
Amen.
This is happening at Easter. That is around the Passover. This is however many years removed. It's not been very long. But they are in the anniversary time of the celebration of when Jesus got up out of the grave. Whoa, hallelujah. These are the days they're thinking back. We saw him nailed to an old rugged cross. We heard about him taking him off the cross. And I'm preaching it. I ain't trying to, but it's coming out. Amen. We heard they put him in a tomb and they buried him. And he got up and we were eyewitnesses. He is alive. We can trust him because he's alive. Hallelujah. He's alive. They're relying on a God. They say, we can bank on him. He's alive. He's the God that is alert. Didn't nobody have to give God the address where Peter was.
Amen.
They'd have to type God an email and say, amen, punch this in your GPS and you'll find out where they're holding him. Amen. No, when God got good and ready to move, God seen the day they shackled him. God seen the day they can find him.
Right.
Amen. God saw through. I ain't trying to preach it, Brother Maggie. It just has blessed me. Amen. God seen through the prison walls. And God could see the deepest, darkest parts of the dungeon. And God knew and was alert to where Peter was. I'm trusting a God tonight, Brother A.L., that, amen, knows where 851 West Highway 2570 is and 845 West Highway 2570 is. Amen. And you're trusting God who knows your address. He don't know, just know our address. He is alert to every need we have. Prayer is made. Amen. Is made of reliance upon a God that we know is alert.
Amen.
Prayer is made of requests for Him.
Yes, sir.
Amen. For Him. For Him. Now I'll give you some things about that. Sometime. I don't know how long it'll take. Y'all know how we are. I wish I could do like some of these preachers. Amen. Sidney Weaver get up in 25 minutes and give you 3 points in a poem and a story and an illustration and be done. I wish I could do that. It don't come out like that. Mine is an hour here and an hour there, and 6 weeks later, Brother Tim, we finish. Amen. It's just me. What prayer's made of is, here's what we're going to come back to, is our prayer life, Brother Mark, is it existent or is it extinct?
Amen.
Amen. You know the answer. You know the answer. I don't know the answer. You know the answer. Is it existent, full of life, labor, and a list of what prayer is made out of? Or is it gone extinct?